looking at Jacob and
verse by verse through this wonderful book, and we're on. We saw the chosen, those who God chose to start the line of Christ and the Jewish people. We saw Abraham and Isaac, and we've been on Jacob now, propagator, in chapters 28 to chapters 35. We saw in chapter 28 how God saved Jacob and Jacob's life was turned around, and we saw how God subdued Jacob, chapter 29 and 30, where we are at. We saw Jacob's arrival at Padan Aram in chapter 29, 1 through 12, then Jacob's arrangements in chapter 29, verse 13, all the way to chapter 30, verse 43. We saw his arrangements with the matter of his wives, and that's a tricky story. We looked at Jacob went through and the arrangements he made with Laban. And Matthew even wrote a song about it, if you want to hear it sometime, right? So I don't suggest you ask. But a matter of wives. And then that brings us to number two, a matter of his wages in chapter 30, verse 25. Let's start reading there in chapter 30, verse number 25. We'll read a few verses here, then we'll pray and get into the message. It says, "It came to pass that when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away, that I may go into my own place, to my country. Give me my wives and my children, for whom I have served thee, and let me go. For thou knowest my service which I have done thee. Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry. For I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. And he said, appoint me thy wages, and I will give it. And he said unto him, thou knowest how I have served thee, and how thy cattle was with me. For it was little which thou hast before I came, and it is now increased into a multitude. And the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming. And now, when shall I provide for my own house also? He said, what shall I give thee? And Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. If thou wilt do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep thy flock. I will pass through all thy flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle, and all the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come, when it shall come for my hire before thy face. Every one that is not speckled and spotted among the goats, and brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. And Laban said, behold, I would it might be according to thy word. And he removed that day the he-goats that were ring-straked and spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and every one that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hand of his sons. And he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob. And Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks." Let's pray. God, thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. And I just pray that, Lord, you just help us tonight as we look at these verses. Lord, teach us the lessons you would have us to learn. And Father, I love you. And I just pray that, Lord, you just work in our midst tonight. And, Lord, we need you. And we'll need you. And I just pray that, God, you'd help us. In your name I pray. Amen. So Jacob has his wives, and his 14 years is over when he was working for Rachel. And so he is ready to go home. We read that there in the first verse that we read, that once Joseph was born, he was wanting to go back home. So let's, again, examine a little bit here. And I don't think we'll go very far tonight. We have some things we need to do tonight. But first of all, I want you to see, first of all, under the matter of his wages, you see his convictions were stirred. Verse 25 and 26. When Joseph was born, something clicked in Jacob. Something changed. And he wanted to go back home to where he belongs. He was ready to head back to Canaan land. He wanted to be sent back. You notice in verse number 25, he goes to Laban and says, send me away. And we've talked about that in some of our Thursday night messages. That's to send away means to leave with blessings. And that's what he sought for. That's what he wanted. I believe that when I say his convictions were stirred, I believe Jacob was getting to the point where he knew this wasn't home. And if he stayed a whole lot longer, it could easily become home. We have to be very, very careful living in this world. Because as we live in this world, if we're not careful, this world can become the home that it's not meant to be for us as believers. This world is not our home. I am just a pilgrim passing through. Amen? And all of us as believers should feel that way. And I'm thankful for that. Even more so after studying in our spiritual warfare for Sunday school, how that, you know, the devil, he's the prince of this world. That's what Jesus said. The prince of this world. The devil has power that he exercises in this world. He has laws. If you're not in Sunday school, one, you should be in Sunday school. Amen? Amen? But we need to know these things. The devil has laws, the law of sin. The devil has doctrines. Doctrines of devils, the Bible talks about. Which is lies to keep people from hearing the truth. He's got an army. He's got structure in his army. He has a pseudo kingdom here on this earth. And while all of that, you know, we studied it, so we have an understanding of it. But the fact is this, and I'm so thankful for this: I'm not a citizen of this world anymore. Isn't that wonderful? So all his laws don't apply to me. Amen. I've been down to a few different countries. I've been down to Mexico. Once you cross over that line, I've taken a couple of groups from church there. Once you cross over that border and you enter Mexico, something changes in your psyche, in your thinking. All of a sudden you realize, I don't have the same protection I used to have. The laws are different. The world is different here. And vice versa, when we come back and enter and we cross that gate, and we show our passports, and they say, welcome home, and we drive across that line. Whew. Even though nothing's ever happened while we were down there, I know I'm back where I'm supposed to be, where God has called me for this time in my life. And that's what's exciting to me right now in this world that I'm living in. The devil's not my king. His laws are not my laws. His doctrines are not my doctrines. I'm a citizen. I'm already seated with the Lord in heavenly places. Amen. This world isn't my home, and I live under the law of the Spirit now. Praise the Lord. People focus on the fact that 1/3 of the angels fell with the devil. Yeah, but that means 2/3. 2-1 they outnumber. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. All right. You know, we're on the winning side. Amen. It's already promised. And so I'm thankful for that. But be careful. As you live in this world, you get really comfortable in this world. You live in this world, you start thinking like this world if you're not constantly renewing your mind. And Jacob was at a place when Joseph was born, I think he started to realize, God had promised me something over there. That's where his inheritance was. That's where his blessing was and his birthright was. None of that mattered where he was. So he said, I need to go home. His convictions were stirred. I want to go back. And I like what he said there again in the verse. I may go into, see verse 25? I may go at the last part of the verse into mine own place. To my country. This isn't home, Laban. I'm going home. Someday, we're going home. What a day that will be. Amen. You see his convictions stirred, but then you see his convictions were stifled. As much as we compliment him, as he wants to go back home, and in verse number 26, he says, give me my wives and my children, and I'm leaving. But you see what Laban did here in verse 27, really for the remainder of this chapter. He changes Jacob's mind. Laban offered Jacob something not to go back home. Look down there in verse number 27. Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience. The Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. And he said in verse 28, appoint me thy what? Wages. What did Laban use to keep Jacob from going and following God's will? Money. Money and wealth. It's sad how many Christians have been pulled into this world through the very same thing. You have to have money to live, but please, friends, don't live for money. Money's not evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. Don't get so covetous. There were people that should have been in church this morning, but they wanted to make an extra dime. It's a true statement. There are people who should be having a walk with God, but they don't have time because they keep themselves so busy. Toys and gadgets and I'm all for being a good steward with everything that God's giving you. If I had my wishes, and I wish everyone in this room became a millionaire. That'd be awesome. Yeah, some of you got really spiritual. Yeah, all right. First time some of you amened in a month. All right, yeah. I mean, that would be fine with me. But there's a danger in that. Did not the Lord say it'd be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle? For a rich man enter into the kingdom of God. Why would he say such a thing? It isn't more difficult. Rich people can get saved just as much as poor people. But those who are rich and have all that this world has to offer, they forget that they have a need. We've been visiting in a nicer area on Wednesdays. And when we pulled in there the first time, I forget who it was, but someone on the bus said, "Here comes a bunch of no's." It doesn't mean they still need the Lord. And we're right where we should be. But it's sad that people that have money and things and all the security they don't think they need the Lord. I was visiting, I've told you this before, and up in Michigan, and it's really, I mean, we were visiting for this church when I was in college. They took us to help this church planner, and he sent us to the nicest area. I mean, it made Indian Hill look like garbage. I mean, I never seen houses like this. I mean, one visit took you 10 minutes, and that's just because walking down the driveway and around everything to get to the door, right? I mean, people had money. The first house I knocked on was Terry Bradshaw. Isn't that pretty cool? Yeah. I was just like, "Hello, I'm Travis Burke. I'm visiting for whatever church it was." And I said, "And you're Terry Bradshaw." And he was just like, "Yes, I am." And he was like, "Yeah." And you ever had that moment all of a sudden you didn't know what to say? I was like, "It's Terry Bradshaw." Yeah, I don't know, right? And so that was kind of cool. By the way, she had a great testimony of salvation. But in any case, these are some nice houses. The rudest people I've ever met wanted nothing to do. And you say, "Yeah, shame on those people." Be careful, because we get in the same boat every once in a while. We like having all of our stuff, and we get so comfortable in this world. Whatever, doesn't take hardly anything to keep us out of church. We're always missing church for no good reason whatsoever. We never have time to have a walk with God. We never have time, and we're always chasing after a dollar that we never can find and quite satisfy us. Let's just say Jacob wasn't the first, and Jacob won't be the last, who was pulled out of the center of God's will because he was chasing a dollar. Jacob knew he's supposed to be going home, but Jacob changed his plans because of money. By the way, money he didn't need. Now, he didn't have much there. Follow me? But when he got home, he had it all. That's why you don't worry about if you don't have much here. Because you're faithful. One day when we get home, we are inheriting with Jesus Christ all that is heaven. Isn't that wonderful? We will walk on a street of gold. Isn't that amazing? We just get so focused on things down here on this earth, and it drew him away. It drew him away. So you see, he has this idea and is chasing this dollar, but his convictions were stifled. Let's kind of break down these verses and real quick. Verse 27 to 30, you see Jacob's witness. And it's a good testimony. What does Laban say? Laban recognizes that Laban was blessed of God because of Jacob. I mean, he recognizes this. He says at the end of verse number 27, "For I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake." So, as much as we know Jacob's not going to make a good choice here, as much as we know he was still using a lot of his trickery, but still there was something in his heart. It was a testimony in his life that God was blessing because of him. You see Jacob's witness. And then you see in verses 31 to 36, Jacob's wages. So he makes his proposal, starting there in verse number 31. And he says, "What shall I give thee?" Jacob said, "Thou shalt not give me anything." Can you imagine this proposal? I have a weird imagination. If you don't believe that, come to camp tomorrow, right? But I have a weird imagination, right? But, I just picture Laban. He goes, "All right, so what do you want?" And Jacob says, "Nothing." Laban's like, "I like it." Because Laban loved money, man. That was what he's all about. He's like, I don't want anything. Verse number 31, Jacob said, "Thou shalt not give me anything." That's pretty cool. He said, "I don't want anything." He said, "But here's the deal." He said, "I want you to take all of your brown sheep, the ones that weren't white and were, you know, had some brown in it or some discoloration." And he said, because back in his days, you know, the sheep, you wanted the sheep to be completely white, they were worth the most money. And the goats had to be completely black, they were worth the most money. Right? And so he said, you take all of your brown sheep, and you take any goats that you have that have speckles or white rings or white blotches in them, and you take them a 3 days' journey. Get them out of here." Which Laban did. He sent his sons with those ring-straked and brown and speckled goats and sheep and took them a 3 days' journey away. Laban's like, "Okay. Then all you'll have left are the white sheep and the black goats." Laban says, "Okay." And when they have baby sheep and baby goats, any goats that aren't completely black, they can be mine. And any goats that aren't completely white, they can be mine, but the rest stays with you. Now Laban, he's an experienced herdsman. He says, "No, and this is where my imagination, this is not, you won't read this, but this is, Laban says, "All right, so you're going to take all my livestock that is that way 3 days away. You're going to keep only the black goats and only the white sheep, and only the black goats are going to breed, and only the white sheep are going to breed, and you're only going to take the ones that sheep that aren't completely white and the goats that aren't completely black." And Jacob says, "Yes." And Laban says, "I like it. I like this. Now, I'm not a scientist, but that sounded too good to be true to Laban. Because a white sheep and a white sheep most normally produce white sheep. Completely black goats and completely black goats will produce completely black goats most of the time. I knew there might be. But Laban loves this deal. Laban's excited about this deal. Laban says, "This sounds awesome with me." And then he says there in verse number 33, he says, "So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come." He said, Laban, this is one of those parts where I smile and smirk, but Jacob says, "Hey, trust me." Jacob, right? Yeah. "Trust me. May my righteousness speak for me." Now, one, he did hold to his word. I think Jacob's starting to grow up a little bit. But he says, "I promise I'm not going to cheat." That's why they sent the other livestock 3 days away, so there'd be no chance of any breeding going on with the ring-straked and the colored. And he said, "So they're gone, and I'll just keep any brown sheep or any speckled goats." Laban says, "Deal." So there's the proposal, and they agree the pledge in verse 34 and 36. Laban said, "Behold, I would it might be according to thy word." This is a great deal, Laban says. So he removed that day the he-goats that were ring-streaked and spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and everyone that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hand of the sons. And he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. So now he says, all right, and I'll take care of your livestock. But again, any born sheep that are not white, and any goats that speckles in them, they're mine. Great, good deal. So you see Jacob's wages, now we see Jacob's wiles. Jacob's wiles. What happens? Just interesting, verse number 37. Jacob took him rods of green poplar, and of the hazel and the chestnut tree, and filled white streaks in them, and made the white appear which was in the rods. And he set the rods which he had filled before the flocks in the gutters and the watering troughs, when the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle ring-straight, speckled, and spotted. And Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flocks towards the ring-straight, and all the brown in the flock of Laban, and he put his own flocks by themselves and put them not into Laban's cattle. And it came to pass, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in, so the feebler were Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. And the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle and maidservants and menservants and camels and asses. So what's he do? Jacob goes after quality and quantity. He wants to build up as much livestock as he can, and he goes after the stronger ones. So the first thing he does, he takes these sticks on these three different trees that they mentioned, and he cuts in these sticks, kind of like, you know, my grandpa used to whittle. Y'all whittle? Brother Davis, you whittled, I'm sure, right? And I used to take a stick and, right? My grandpa just loved, Grandpa Hudson kept his knife so sharp. He had the hairiest arms of anyone I've ever met in my life. And he'd always sharpen that, and then he'd go, and the hairs would just fall off his arm. Didn't he did it all the time, didn't he? He found great pleasure in that. And I did too. I thought it was amazing. I always tried to do it. Like, my knives never would cut anything. They still don't. He'd do that. He'd whittle and on the sticks. And so what Jacob did, he took and he whittled on a stick. And he took off some of the bark and left it straight, striped. You could see some of the white striped and still had some of that. It was just different colors. And then when all the weak cattle, the feeble cattle came, he kept the sticks and let them drink the water. But when the strongest livestock, the healthiest, the robust, they came, he would drop these sticks in their water. They'd drink the water. And then the total black goats would breed, and all of a sudden they're speckled. That didn't make sense to Laban. But Jacob started getting a lot of livestock. The white sheep, the strong white sheep would drink this water, had the sticks in it, and then they'd have brown sheep. Laban scratching his head. Matter of fact, Laban 10 times would change the deal. And every time, Jacob came out on top. And he couldn't figure out what was going on. You say, all right, explain that to me. All right, the three trees. I have no clue. I have no idea. If anyone tells you they do, they're lying. No one knows. You say, did Jacob know something we don't? Maybe. They weren't idiots back then, right? Maybe. Some people believe it was in Canaan land, they preferred the ring straight and the different colors in their livestock. So maybe that's just what they did over there, and he just thought it worked. But I give you the little clue on things, all right? It wasn't, and Jacob knew this. Look at chapter 31, verse number 5. Jacob's talking. He says in chapter 31, verse number 5, I see your father's countenance, that is not toward me as before, but the God of my father has been with me. Here, God did this. I don't know what Laban was trying to do. It might have been one of those things, you know, kind of folklore, you know. I don't know. Or maybe it was scientific. The fact is, we don't know. But I do know this, that Jacob recognizes that God did a miracle in all this. And all of a sudden, Laban is left with some weak sheep. They're white, but they're very weak. And on some black goats, but they're kind of weak. And all the strong and robust were all ring-shaped and brown, and they're over there. And every time one was born, he'd put it in his own area. And of course, as they grew up, they would have, you know, a baby sheep and baby goats, and they would all be speckled and brown. And pretty soon, he's a rich man. Pretty soon, he has all that he wanted. I can't really explain much more than that. Can't tell you what the sticks did. Other than this, God blessed. But God blessed because I don't think God intended to make Jacob rich. Jacob was searching, seeking after a dollar, and I don't think that's what. I think God did this. Everybody catch this as I close, right? I think God did this because he's going to use this to get Jacob out of there. If Laban and Jacob both would have had just an equal amount of sheep and goats, and they're all healthy and they're all strong and both people are doing really well, chances are Jacob would have never left. But because God did something so miraculous and so obvious, this is not normal, Laban, when he looked at Jacob now, his face was different. Instead of, "That's my son-in-law," now it's, "What's my son-in-law doing?" And all of Laban's sons, who were supposed to be inheriting a whole lot of stuff, were saying, "This guy's taking everything." And everyone's now being turned against Jacob, which will force Jacob to have to leave. And when they end up leaving, it destroys that relationship. It destroys the relationship that the in-laws could have had in the future. Separates people. The very simple thing is this: when you know God's will, do it. Don't run from the will of God. Jacob should have said, "Sorry, it's not about the wages, it's about God's will. And I'm going home. Please send me with your blessing." But instead he chased the dollar. Instead, God had to work to where he ended up. Now Laban's going to hate him. The family's going to be separated. Now he's got one brother waiting for him. The last thing he said was, "I'm going to kill him." And he's leaving some brother-in-laws now that can't stand the sight of him because they've taken everything that should have been theirs. Which is what Esau's saying. All because Jacob keeps trying to live life in his own wisdom and his own might and his own ingenuity instead of saying, "God, here I am." To our young people, teenagers, young adults, young married, be wise stewards, use what God's giving you to the best of your ability, but don't fall in love with a dollar that will keep you from serving God. Because what God might have to do is turn everyone's face against you to get you back to where you need to be. It's far better. I've heard testimonies, and so have you. People called to the mission field. They didn't want to surrender because they had a good job and had this, and all of a sudden their employer bankrupts, or all of a sudden they shut down, or all of a sudden there's layoffs. Bad things happen. You don't need to go down that road. Just submit to God.